You know, we are going to be spending our time on verses 4 through 8 today, but I wanted to back up and kind of give you a little context on that. So we'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 4, and through 8, and I'm going to start right now. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Thank you for that, Leroy. Nice to see you here today. All right, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain to you because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food, and anyone who lives on milk is being still an infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so." And that's where we're going to be heading today. Bible says in verse 4, it says, "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and are subjecting Him to public disgrace." No, nobody wants to do that here. Amen?
Amen?
"Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and that produces a crop useful for those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God." That sounds good. Does that sound good?
Amen.
Does that sound good?
Amen.
Thank you. "But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless." That sounds bad.
Yes.
Everybody say bad?
Bad.
Yes. Land, thank you for that bilingual response there, Balthazar. "Land that drinks in the rain on falling, but land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. And in the end, it will be burned." Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we seek an anointing to hear from you. Lord, we will lift up your name in praise for the mighty works that you have done among us, in us, through us, Lord. And Lord, I pray your truth, Lord, and clarity would come today, Lord, that you would bind every distraction. Lord, that you would help us to learn and to comprehend the message that you have for us today. And we ask all that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Talk about a new beginning, a new hope. Does that sound good?
Yes.
You know, I was thinking of a picture that I could show you of a new beginning and a new hope. And I thought about, I started looking up some wedding pictures. And I thought about that husband that is just so blessed by his new bride that'll just do anything for her. And she'd say, "You know what, I want a picture on a bike, you know, for the wedding." She says, "That's whatever you want, baby. That's what you got." And she says, "You know what, I want to just go out on the beach, you know, and I want to just have this great time and this great remembrance, and I want to have the pictures." And what you end up with on that day is this bride that is just beaming and shining and just in love with that man that would do anything for her. But things change. And the focus sometimes shifts off that smiling bride and things begin to go downhill. And all of a sudden, it's no longer what I can do for you, but what you can do for me. And that man that looks so good ends up looking bad. And that bride that looks so wonderful, if she knew what was going to happen on that day would have ended up very differently. And so we talk about new beginnings. that smiling person. No second beginnings. It is very difficult once that destruction happens in a relationship to come back to that smiling beginning because there is damage that has happened. Now, can you not hear me back there? Yes? Are you waving at me for a reason? Okay. You want it up louder? Is that it? No. Too loud? You want it down? All right, whatever. They're waving at somebody else. Okay. Are you waving? Well, anyway, I don't get the message. Sometimes we don't get the message. The Lord would have us understand a message today. There are people that just don't care. Might be men, might be women. They are in it for what they can get. I'm just in it for me. And that guy who ended up sitting in the chair and laying on the couch and making his wife carry all them sticks and all those bundles and all that kind of stuff, he was just in it for him. And you know, if you ask that guy, he'd say, you know what, that's just the way I roll. I get what I can and then I move on. And they leave a pathway of destruction behind them. A pathway of destroyed lives, and they just move on and they just don't care. Now, maybe that describes you today. It did describe me a while back, 20 years ago. And you know what? The Lord gave me a brand new start in my life. And if you are here because you need a brand new start in your life today, I have good news for you, that there is an opportunity that is available for you today. Does that sound good news? Amen? How many of you have received that new start in the Lord? I want to see your hands. Yeah? So, now, if you need that, you look around and say, man, if they can get a new start, I could get a new start. Belteshazzar got a new start. Thomas got a brand new hip a week ago. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You got a smile on him. Now, what our author talks about is this, and the Bible tells us that the Lord would do a work in us. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And that is the transformation that is available that the Lord would do for you. And you come in here broken, and you're looking for that new start, and you can look just like that. Brand new start in the Lord. You're here for that. It's available for you today. Now, author brings up the possibility of damage that can happen in your relationship with the Lord. Can have that same type of sentiment that that man had when he started taking advantage of his wife. I'm just in it for what I can get, and then I'm moving on. And some of us can come to the Lord like that. And what this portion of Scripture says, that there are no second beginnings. You get a new beginning, you could have a new beginning today. He says that if you come to the Lord and you begin to play games with the Lord, that there is a damage that happens to that relationship, but it's not that bride that you're going to leave behind that is damaged. It is you that are going to be damaged. That there is a scarring that happens in your soul that you will never recover from. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because the title of today's message is No Second Beginnings. Is that interesting to anybody? All right. Me and Leroy. All right. God's light makes a change. It is impossible. Everybody say impossible, please.
Impossible.
It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and who have shared in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to talk about the good stuff that happens when you come to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bible says that enlightenment is something that you receive. It is something that you receive from God. It is a light that comes upon you from something outside of who you are. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And as that light comes to you, you can choose the light or you can choose the darkness. And we're going to talk about that choice today because there are some people who just say, no, I don't want it. I'm not interested. I'd rather just stay the way I am. Now, he describes what happens to you when you come out of the darkness and into the light. And the first thing that he talks about there is he talks about the heavenly gift. And there's all kinds of things that comprise the heavenly gift and experience that light of the Lord. Now, you might have been healed by the Lord. How many of you have felt the healing touch of God in your life? Up high. Ha, 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 ha. Look at that. Look at that. Isn't that good? You might think, well, how else can I feel that? Well, you might have felt just the power of God in direction, right? In provision. You might find provision in your home, direction. Like Andon stands up here and he gets that message from God. Were you blessed by that? How would you like it if you were 7 years old, received the message of the Lord like that? The difference, I didn't come to the Lord until I was 29 years old. Boy, I would have liked to have a vision like that when I was 7. Amen?
Amen.
How can I feel the presence of God in my life? There's a gap in life. There's an emptiness in my life. Well, if you need that, it is available for you today. That fullness in the Lord is available for you today. Talks about the Holy Spirit, who have shared in the Holy Spirit. And there can be confusion about what does it mean to be sharing in the Holy Spirit. When you ask Jesus, you want to have that light come into your life. You say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I am a sinner. Come and fill me. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Yes. Ephesians, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus chapter 1, verse 13. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. So you hear that message and you receive it and you believe it and you ask the Lord to come into your life. And the Bible tells us, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he says, once having believed, you are marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And when you ask Jesus to come into your life, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in your life. And he is like a thumbprint of the Lord. This one is mine. Amen? Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into truth, that he is going to direct you, that your life will be transformed as you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your king, your boss, your savior. Make sense? You want that today. That can happen for you today. If you have been coming here and you have not understood, that's what you need to do. That can happen for you today. Sound good? There's other good things that happen. The life of the Lord is experienced. Now we move on to having tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age. Now, the Word of God is comprised in this Bible, but it is not limited to this Bible. Amen? We hear the message that Annan spoke to us. Sometimes we hear a message that would come by a prophet that the Lord would just speak to our heart, bring conviction, say, this is not for you, my child. Amen? He says, if you have tasted the goodness of the message of God, some of you have not. The Bible tells us that the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, that it is spiritually discerned. That is not the scripture I was talking about. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. If you have not discovered the goodness of this book, it is a spiritual issue. And you can say, Lord, I want to know your fullness. I want to know your power. He talks about the powers of the age to come. Talk about the powers of heaven, the powers of the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus was talking about here. He says, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, that's how much of God it takes to drive out demons and control the spiritual realm. The finger of God. And Jesus was casting out demons right and left. And he says, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And the Lord tells us, and the Bible tells us, that there is power from the kingdom of God that is available to us right now. That we have kingdom resources, the Spirit of God would come and transform our very souls and our minds, and we would be transformed in our thinking. And we experience that kingdom power and kingdom living. And what does that power do for you? Well, that power enables Juan, for the very first time, to write out a tithe check. That power enables Andon to receive a message. I prayed up here for someone saying, I need help. I need power to quit smoking. There is power from God to overcome the challenges of this life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we're going to do some other stuff today. The gentlemen are going to come. The ushers are going to come. And we're going to have communion right now. But as they come, you are here. And the Lord is speaking to your heart. I just want to stop. And I want to pray with you. Can we do that? Bow your heads with me. Lord Jesus, we just come right now. Lord, and you are so awesome and you are so mighty, Lord, and that you reach down from heaven, Lord, and you touch hearts. And there are those that are here this morning that are crying out, saying, Lord, I have damaged my life. I have damaged people. I have lived in darkness. I have been selfish. My life has been focused all on me, Lord, and it has got me nowhere except pain. And Lord, if there is a new beginning for me, if there is a new hope for me this morning, if you would reach down from heaven and seal me with your Holy Spirit, if you would change my soul, change my mind, give me a new spirit, give me that new heart. Lord, I want that. Everyone's praying right now. We got a whole lot of church left, a little bit of church left. But the Lord right now is speaking from heaven right to you. And he's saying, this is for you. This is why I had you here this morning. Nobody looking around, but you would just say, Lord, I don't want to go any further without you. I want you to come into my life this morning and transform me. If that is you this morning, I just want you to just raise your hand up and say, here I am, right here, right there. Somebody else say, right here, amen, back there, here. Anybody else say, that's me, yeah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You can put your hand down if you put it up already. Back there, I saw that hand, that quick hand. Lord, I thank you that you give us new beginnings, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are a merciful God. You look down from heaven and your voice reaches through, Lord. All space, all time, all challenges, all difficulties, Lord. And that your message of mercy comes through and transforms us. I pray for these that have expressed, Lord, the desire for that new life in you. That you would fill them. That you would guide them. Transform them, seal them with your spirit. There'll be new creations in you. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, you guys can begin to pass these elements out. Some of you have just received the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. We're passing out communion. Maybe you have experienced this before, maybe you have not. The elements there, the bread and the cup, they represent Jesus' death on the cross, which is how you are saved. Jesus hung on a cross for you. He gave his life and he shed his blood. His body was broken. I'm sorry, his body was given for you and his blood was shed. We break this bread. We remember his body as we drink this cup. Remember his sacrifice on the cross of blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We do this as Christians. Now maybe you are here today. You just gave your life to the Lord. You've known the Lord for a little while. One other thing that we do is we get baptized in water. Joshua and Matt, you guys got baptized last Monday, right? Put your hands up. Some people don't know me. Right there, a little water baptism right there. We are going to have water baptism right back here on July 3rd. It's a famous day. It's right before the 4th, okay? Everybody should remember it. If you have not been baptized in water, you need to follow the Lord in water baptism. Step of obedience. That's what Christians do. Amen?
Amen?
So if you need to get baptized in water, you can talk to myself or you can talk to Roki right there in the... Wave to everybody, Roki. There, that's Roki right there. Or Martin right over here as well. Either one of us will be able to help you have a baptism class and you will understand what is going on. Good?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. It was the Last Supper. It had bread, and then he had a cup. And he passed it out among his disciples. He broke the bread and said, take and partake of this. It's my body that is given for you. Jesus hung on a cross, real man, fully God, hung on a cross, experienced pain, was beaten, a crown of thorns placed on his head. He bled, and he died. And he did that so that we might have new life in him. Amen?
Amen.
Let us partake of the bread of the Lord. Hallelujah. After the meal, he took a cup. And he said, in this cup is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, given for you for the remission, for the cleansing away of your sin. You come to the Lord, you come to the Lord and you ask the Lord to come in your life just a few moments ago. This blood is now applied to your account. I did that 20 years ago. I celebrate this. We look back to the cross for his sacrifice on the cross. The blood that he shed that transformed my life 20 years ago was shed 2,000 years ago. So if you're looking back 2 minutes, 20 years, Gene probably 60 years, Johnny a long time, we celebrate the cup of the Lord. Let us partake of the cup of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise, Lord, knowing that you are mighty in this place. Lord, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness and that you are mighty. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, Roki, take this for me, bro. All righty. We still got a little bit of church to go. I mentioned that. Is that okay with you? Are we doing okay? Yeah, we're good? Overflow, we're okay? Yeah? All right. Okay, number two. Don't turn your back on God. That sound like good advice?
Oh, yeah.
Don't turn your back on God. Why? Because there is danger in distance. There is a danger in distance from your wife, and there is a danger in distance from the Lord. He says, if they fall away, who? All these people that experienced all that stuff, tasted that the Lord is good, all that stuff. If they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. To be brought back to repentance. Talk about falling away from God. Talking about turning away from the Lord, turning away from your faith. And this is like that husband that we talked about at the beginning, all nice and happy. And he just starts making worse and worse choices. And you, as you make poor choices in the Lord, you can end up like this. But not in your relationship with the Lord, but in your relationship with your wife, but in your relationship with the Lord. Do you look like this? Is this a picture of you? Because some of you might have become accustomed to saying no to God. Talk about falling away. A deliberate, willful rejection of the plan of God for your life. A rejection of God in favor of sin. I'd rather sin than have the Lord. Talk about falling away. Once you come to understand the fullness of God, falling away from the Lord is more than just a stumble. It's more than, I think I'll have a beer today. Deliberate, day in, day out, denial of the Lord. And as you step, I mean, you don't end up like this guy and that guy in one day from that. It takes years of rejection of your relationship to make that slide. And the Bible would tell us that the Holy Spirit, as he comes and lives in you, would be convicting you all along the way. Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? And every time you say yes, it scars your soul. It does not harm God. It harms you. And he says that that scarring would build up and build up until you no longer desire to do good. You get scarred by these choices. And you cannot come back to repentance. You no longer care. and you don't even think about God. You're like that guy. There's danger in distance from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe the distance has been growing a little bit for you. I don't know where you're at in the slide. Don't let it get that far. You can fix that today. Rejection means more than you realize. See that guy who's sitting in that chair, he's just thinking, you know what, I'm just having a beer, I'm just watching the game, I'm just letting myself go, it doesn't really matter. But it really matters. He says, the reason it matters is because to their loss, if you're doing this, because to your loss, you are crucifying the Son of God all over again. And you are subjecting him to public disgrace. Says that those choices, as you choose sin over the Lord, that you're hanging him up back on the cross, and that you are subjecting him to public disgrace. You who are formerly numbered with his followers are now standing with those who would say, crucify him. He means nothing to me. We put the Lord up on the cross with our sin. It's a real deal, guys. I wish it wasn't. I wish I could say that you can make any choice today and it's not going to have an impact on you or your relationship with the Lord. Chapter 10 speaks to this, book of Hebrews. It says, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Is that rather extreme language? Would you say? Let me read it for you again. How much more severely, everybody say severe.
Severe.
How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished? Would you say punished?
Punished?
How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, that cleanses you, that washes you from the sin, that you just kind of wipe your feet on the Lord. See, your sin means more than you realize. And the more you wipe on him, the more you harm your soul.
Yes.
And it transforms you. He says, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. Because the Holy Spirit would guide you and would say, are you sure you want to do this? And some people say, yeah, I don't care. Some people start off saying, I think so. There was a guy that was here. I don't remember his name. Maybe 5 years ago. And he was living in the rehab house up here. And we were doing some work with a bunch of the folks up there. And it was when we were building the concrete and stuff out there. And he was a contractor kind of guy. And, man, he came here, man, and he was lit by the Lord. I mean, he started getting involved in all the projects. And one day, you know, out of prison, man, heroin addict, former heroin addict. And he shows up one day, he's got a big old Jesus shirt on, you know. And it was just like, you know, Jesus, my Lord and Savior, this big old thing, had a scripture reference on it. He was so proud, kind of glittery, goldy kind of, you know, seen those shirts? You know what I'm talking about? You know, just like bold for Jesus, you know, hallelujah. And he's a big dude and short, but big, stout, and we're working on all these projects, and we're picking up materials from Home Depot and doing all this stuff. And he started stealing equipment from Home Depot. I'm like, dude, what's this? He goes, oh, it was in my cart, man, and the girl didn't see it. I'm like, bud, you got to take that thing back. No, that's a coil nail hammer, man. That thing's worth $400. I mean, dude, you didn't pay for it. You got to take it back. And he said, the Lord blinded her eyes to it, and it was a blessing. I'm like, that's not how the Lord blesses you, guy. You need to make this right. I'm not making it right. And he began to buy all these stolen gear and stolen equipment and just going worse and worse, and he began to shoot heroin again until finally, well, he wouldn't let him work over here anymore. It just became such a distraction. But he's out slamming dope in the park, and he gets arrested. And he comes out of jail, and he's just broken and he's just filthy. And he's wearing his Jesus shirt. His arms are ripped off. It's filthy. And you think, what a display. How far he had fallen. How much damage he had done to his soul. And when he came out of jail, he wanted nothing to do with God. I offered to buy the shirt off of him so that that witness wouldn't be going out. Our choices harm us. Don't turn your back on God. Amen? All right. Point number three. All right. Now he jumps to this. It's like, okay, is it supposed to be here? It's like he starts talking about land. Two verses. Land that drinks in rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful for those whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. God blesses production. God blesses production. Story of the land. Land receives rain. Land does not do anything to produce rain. Amen? The rain just comes and the rain falls on it. But the land does produce a crop. Now, I asked Natty, but she couldn't find me one. I forgot to bring one. An apple. Man, I love apples. I love nice, cold, crisp apples. Who likes a mushy apple? Give me a nice... Linda. Linda will take mushy apples. If you have a mushy apple and you don't want it, give it to Linda. She would like it. But I like the crisp ones. I want crisp green apples. Give me something that snaps off. And I'm thinking of a crop, you know, and I started thinking, oh, man, I did not look at that yet. That looks good. Doesn't that just look good? Got the little water glistening off of it, you know, and just crack into that thing. And it says that the land produces a crop of apples. And it's not for itself. That the land produces a crop for the benefit of those for whom it is farmed. And when that land produces that crop for somebody else, for me, for Linda, those are mushy apples. Maybe for you. We're blessed by the crop, and the land is blessed by God. What's the blessing? I don't know. But if there's a blessing from God out there, do you want it?
Yes.
Amen. Coming from the Lord, I'll take a shot. Amen. All right, now we get the other side of it. Wasted capacity gets cursed. Like, can't we stop at verse 7? Do we have to go that far? I'm sorry. We kind of do that whole gospel thing here, okay? You guys good with that? Some people are thinking, no, we want just the good stuff. All right. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed, and in the end, it will be burned. Now, remember what those apples look like? This land, it's like the same land. It's got the same rain coming on it periodically. Irrigation is there, but it doesn't make apples. It makes weeds.
Wow.
I mean, I guess you could make some type of flower decoration or something with that, you know, and put some other stuff, you know, dried stuff. I mean, it's like dried weeds. Why are you running up there? Oh, by the way, I need a volunteer to fix that palm tree. If that's you, talk to me after church. Because it kind of looks like those weeds. He says... And he's kind of talking about your life. If your life is producing that, you're in danger. Now, notice he doesn't say that land produces the weeds is cursed. He says it's in danger of being cursed. Not cursed yet. And to me, that makes me think that there's an opportunity. That there's an opportunity to come back from weeds and thistles. But he says, watch out. And don't become complacent, producing nothing in your life, because in the end, you'll get burned. You will be burned up. I mean, I know something about farming. They burn crops off. You know what for? For the next crop. And they're not going to waste their time because that land costs money. He says, if you're making weeds, you're in danger of being cursed, and in the end, you'll be burned. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're going, how do I know? Well, if you hear the voice of the Lord today, and He is telling you, you better watch out. You're not too far gone. Voice of the Lord, the mercy of God still extends to you. So my question for you today is, what do you do with that new beginning? Maybe your new beginning just happened a couple of minutes ago, and you just feel like that. Everything is new. Everything is wonderful. That's, you know what? We talked about milk and being an infant. Be an infant. That's what you expect. You know, you can take a while to get on your feet, just like a little baby take a while to get on their feet. Maybe you even need an incubator. We'll hook you up with an incubator. We'll put some people that will ride with you until you get out of that incubator and learn how to stand. Does that sound good? Does that sound good? Come on now. Is everybody freaking out there? Now you look back at your life and you're thinking, and my question for you is, what are you doing with your new beginning? Maybe you haven't been saved for just 10 minutes. Maybe it's been 10 months. Maybe it's been 10 years. My question for you is, what does your crop look like? Because the Lord is looking for a return. Is it like this or is it like this? What's coming off of your life? If you're brand new, don't worry about what it looks like. We'll get some feedback for you in a little bit. But see, now God expects that new beginning to end up with something. My question for you is, what does your new life look like? Does your new life look like the crop or like the weeds? Is the Lord looking at your life and going, man, what an incredible investment I have made with my spirit in your life? And you can look back and, I mean, can you? Andon, you look back. I'm testifying at 7. Just think when he hits 9. What do you got that's following you? Every one of us has a trail, a testimony, a crop of something. You got some nice crisp apples or some mushy apples for Lynn, or do you just have weeds and thistles and just get burned up? And you might be sitting here today and say, you know what, I don't even care. I don't care what you're saying. I just came here for the barbecue afterward. Hey, come and get some barbecue. But remember what he said. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're so slow. He said, in fact, though some by this time, some of you ought to be teachers. You need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. We talked about this last week. And Julie Camacho is down teaching today. She's a Christian Ed director. And she is in the process of training 3 brand new ladies. Amen. How to run a 4- and 5-year-old class. Some of these ladies have not even been saved a year. And you know what's coming out of those ladies? Nothing yet. But there's a crop that's coming. Amen. Amen. Sandra taught her first class, youth class, on Wednesday night. Guess what's coming? There's a crop that is coming. How about you? Is that you? Which one are you? Lisa's going to come and sing. The Lord has invested the blood of His Son in you. He has sealed you with the Spirit of God, and He has great hopes. and great plans for you. And as you embrace him, like that guy embracing his new bride.